This is a production of the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit elmad.pardes.org.
I'm Aryeh Ben David. And it's very sweet being back here. I taught at Pardes for about 20 years. Seems like a long time ago. I started teaching here in 1986. Was anybody not born in 1986? Okay. So, 1986, I taught here for about 20 years. Spent a lot of time in this Beit Midrash. And 10 years ago, I did a crazy thing at the age of 50 with 6 kids. And I left, basically, you know, this great institution, basically a tenured position, to do something crazy and start Ayeka. Because I wanted to figure out a way for educators to teach from the mind to the heart, to the soul, and into life. Because for me, Judaism wasn't as much about content, although we have a lot of books on the wall, we have a lot of content. For me, it was really about the journey. I come from a family that's very marginally connected Jewishly, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. And miraculously, somehow, a mystery still to me, after college, I came to Israel, knew about 6 words of Hebrew, Yelid, Yalda, Kelev. Saw my first Shabbos candle when I was 23. And as my parents say, I fell into the abyss, never to emerge. I'm married to Sandra. We have 6 kids and a bunch of grandkids. And I wanted to find a way that Judaism was about the journey. That wherever we are, how do we take the next step? I encountered 2 issues that I wanted to address. One is the issue of many educators, not all, but many educators, who basically looked at teaching like this. I know, I got it, I'm good. You don't know. Let me give it over to you. So that's a very static approach, a very content static approach. And the other issue was that I found that we didn't really, amazingly, we, the Jewish people who brought God to the world and brought spirituality to the Western world, was the one thing that I found we really had a hard time talking about personally. When was the last time somebody looked you straight in the eye and said, how's your relationship with God? When was the last time somebody did that? When I taught here at Pardes for all those years, I taught tefillah for many years. So Pardes students are amazing, they're great. If I asked the question, does anybody here want to share intimate details of your sexual life? Every hand would go up, right? If I asked, how's your relationship with God? They'd say, that's personal. That's personal, you know? So I wanted to find a way to bring God and spirituality back in a non-judgmental way, in a non-agenda way, and some way to open up our hearts and our souls so that we could really be transformed about what we teach and learn. So Ayeka, basically, that's what we do. We teach teachers, we teach educators, we teach rabbis that are bringing from the mind to the heart. Because the mind learns differently than the heart. And that's what this Haggadah is about. The mind learns very fast. I got it. And the fear of all educators, any teachers in this room? Right? One of the biggest fears of teachers is, oh my God, I don't want to be boring. I don't want to go slow. I don't want the students to look at that glazed look of being bored. Oh my God, oh my God. So I'm going to go fast. I'm going to talk fast, right? The mind gets it like that. You don't have to repeat it. I got it. Tafasti. The heart learns slowly. Because the heart is connected to life. And that's not Aryeh's idea. That's the Gemara's idea. It's developed in Jewish thought and Kabbalah and Rav Kook. The heart learns slowly. So we have a real tension now. I want new ideas. I want to go fast. I want to get it. I don't want to be bored. And if it's really good, you know, we don't live according to our minds. We don't live. We live according to our hearts. That's the reality. So I got to find a way to bring it from here to here and not make it mushy and not make it maudlin and not make it too flaky. When I left Pardes to do this kind of stuff, I cannot tell you how many conferences and people looked at me and said, like, Aryeh, you used to be a serious guy. What happened to you? You flaked out. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring it from the mind to the heart in a real way. Okay? And that's what this Haggadah is about. Now, a question. How many of you already have a Haggadah at home?
How many?
How many of you have more than 5? How many of you actually know the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim and what happened? Spoiler alert, right? They got out, okay? So you know the story, and you have five Haggadahs at home. What are you doing here? Why are you here? Let me just hear from a couple of people. Why are you here? You know the story. There are dozens and dozens of Haggadahs. There's so many out there. Why are you here?
I'm here because I'm a Haggadah collector, and I study with the Renewal Movement. And I'd like to invite you to reframe flaky, as somebody did for me, because I often was called flaky. And croissants are flaky. So free Pesach, I just wanted to add that for you.
I'm croissant-y.
Good.
Good, beautiful. I love it. You're a Haggadah collector. Anybody over here? Why are you here? Yeah?
Well, I heard about the Ayeka Soulful Parenting course, and I didn't actually get to take it, but some of my friends did it, and I was hoping to hear more of that and how we can put mindfulness and soulfulness into Seder.
Right. Mindfulness and soulfulness into Seder. That's our challenge, okay? So what I want to do tonight is basically walk through what is this Haggadah, how to use it, how it's different. There are, if you go on Amazon, there are well over 100 Haggadah. Oh, my God. This year, the Hogwarts Haggadah came out, okay? I went on through it like it's unbelievable. I want to walk through and explain how to use this, because this Haggadah, actually, my wife will attest, I am prone to exaggeration. But this Haggadah, the Ayeka Haggadah, is actually different. It is actually different. Let me get a copy just to show you. This Haggadah is different because you have to work in this Haggadah. Okay? You see here? There's an empty space. This Haggadah is Haggadah work with the idea that you don't just open it up and read and say, oh, here's an interesting commentary. Oh, here's an interesting commentary. There's the Rav Kook Haggadah, there's the Shlomo Karl Haggadah, there's the Rav Soloveitchik Haggadah, there's the Hasidic Haggadah, there's the Rabbi Nachman Haggadah, there's the Unorthodox Haggadah, there's the this and that. Oh, look at that commentary. That's a nice commentary. This Haggadah is looking for one commentator. This Haggadah is about one commentator that is unique. And that's you. The idea behind this Haggadah is to evoke your voice, to hear your voice, because Seder night of all nights, and I know this sounds heretical in this, place of learning, but we have 364 nights a year to learn about Seder, to learn about Shemot Yitzhak Mitzrayim. We have 364 nights a year. The one night that the rabbis and the Gemara and Chazal and their infinite wisdom decided was not a night of learning was the Seder night. How do I know that? Because if I said, listen, we want to learn. This is what I want. I'd like you to bring your mattress and four bottles of wine. We're going to learn tonight. You probably said, that's not really how Jews learn, right? I mean, the Gemara says you have one glass of wine, you start to glow. You have two glasses of wine, you start to talk. Three glasses of wine, says the Gemara, you proposition the donkeys in the marketplace, okay? Four glasses of wine, you're out of control. And none of this grape juice stuff, right? That's what the rabbis thought. So Seder night, you wouldn't say, you got to drink four cups of wine, bring your mattress, lie down, eat charoset, which is an aphrodisiac in the eyes of Chazal, and let's learn. This is not a night of learning. This is a night of experiencing. And we Jews have a problem now. Because we are very good at this. We get stuck up here. I'm the most stuck up here. My mother's from Vienna, right? I am totally stuck. When I go wild and crazy and spontaneous, I play chess, okay? I am totally stuck up here. I don't sing. I don't dance. I don't do art. I don't do drama. My wife, God bless her, is totally cool. The kids say, my aim is cool, Abba's a nerd, okay? I am totally stuck here. So this is a challenge for me, right? I'm not like a Karbachian, whatever. No. This is a challenge for me. But this night, Seder night, we have to get out of here and into here. We have to experience it. It's a night of love. It's a night of singing. It's a night of celebration. We have to get out of here. So to do that and to find your own voice, we have in this Haggadah 40 trigger exercises. 40 trigger exercises. And if you look at the single page here, you'll see if you turn it over, right, it will tell you, I think it says somewhere here, that the W in the previous bit. Look in the body, with 40 different questions, 40 opportunities to share. One of the subtitles that we didn't use, because it was a little too glib, was 40 Ways to Leave Your Egypt. Okay? But there are 40 triggers here. And the idea is for you to actually write. Look at the Haggadah before Seder. Go through it before Seder. And write your answers. Take, how many of you were preparing for Seder night? How many hours do you think? All together. Looking through the cookbooks, shopping, cooking, cleaning, everything you have to do. How many hours would you say, cumulatively, all together you prepare for Seder night? Give me a number. Do I hear 10? Raise your hand if you put in 10. Don't be bashful. We're friends here. Raise your hand if you put in 10. Raise your hand if you put in 20.
If we're counting travel time, 20.
So this is what's so painful for me. But I talk to people and I say, I put in 10 hours, I put in 20 hours. I get to Seder, I'm exhausted. Has anyone ever got to Seder exhausted? Give me a sign of life. Yeah? I get to Seder, I'm exhausted. And I'm unprepared spiritually because in all my cooking, shopping, cleaning, working, preparing, everything, I didn't emotionally, spiritually prepare. This Haggadah is for the spiritual, emotional preparation. It should take you 30 minutes to an hour. 30 minutes to an hour, okay? And the idea is that you hear your own voice. Now, ideally, this is how it works. It works like this, and this is how we're going to run our Seders. That everyone at the Seder table is using this Haggadah. That's how we're going to use it this year. And this year, all the guests will receive this Haggadah beforehand. And all the guests will put in 30 to 60 minutes beforehand. So everyone will come to Seder spiritually, emotionally, ready. And then, the person, anyone leading a Seder here, I'm making your life so easy. So unbelievably easy. All you'll have to do is say, oh, this question, did anybody write and answer this question? That's all you're going to have to say. And just let it flow. That's the idea. So let's jump in and figure out how it works a little bit. Ready? Okay. I'm going to borrow... Can I borrow this here? Can you share? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, so there are 40 triggers, I said. The first one is an icon for kids. There are 10 questions for kids. They're primarily at the beginning of the Seder night to keep the kids involved. They're for kids, but they're also for the kid in each of us. Okay? Questions like, look at your staple sheet here. A question like page 27. On page 27. Okay? Kids, it says, everyone see it? Mm-hmm. We're good? Kids, can you summarize the Exodus in one sentence? If you could only send a 10-word text message about leaving Egypt, what would you say? Do any of you have kids here? Do any of them text? Okay. So, this one I invite you to pick up your pen. Let's take 30 seconds. Can you summarize the Exodus in one sentence? If you only had 10 words, what would you say? Go ahead, let's take 30 seconds. What comes up for you? There's no good, there's no bad.
Can we use emoji?
What's that?
Can I use emoji?
You can, there's no good, there's no bad. You can, feel free. There, 10 words, what comes up for you? Go ahead. And right in the spot. Go ahead. There's no good. There's no bad. I'm not judging here. So if you have kids, you would give your kid the Haggadah before and say, look through, look for the kid questions. and just take a few minutes and write an answer. And then you come to the Seder already thinking about it and reflecting. Let's hear from a couple people. What came up for you in your 10-word tweet? We're tweeting Pesach. You're leaving Egypt with your Twitter account. What came up for you?
Mine wouldn't enter the Haggadah because I wrote, at midnight, Moses called us to follow him out of Egypt.
At midnight, Moses calls us to follow him out of Egypt. Beautiful. Let me hear from someone else. Yeah.
We were spiritually awakened to our enslavement. God liberated us.
Okay, so those are two, but if you listen carefully in 10 words, they're a little different. You're talking about leaving Egypt. You're talking about spiritual emancipation. Who else? 10 words, what came up for you? There's no good or there's bad. Let's just hear from a few people. Yeah.
You were slaves, God got us ready, we left.
There it is. Let's see. We're done. We are totally done. Okay? But Shmuel added a word there. That was interesting that he added that word. We were slaves, say then, and then what?
God got us ready.
God got us ready. Okay? Now here's a very painless way for people to begin to use the G word. Which, you know, for Jews, it's like the Harry Potter. It's the one who shall never be mentioned. The name shall not be mentioned, right? Okay. So you're talking about spiritual enlightenment. You're talking about leaving Egypt. You're talking about God. Anyone else here? No good, they're bad, don't be bashful. Yeah?
Getting out fast. What a crowd. Hope we have car snacks.
Hope we have car snacks.
It was 11 words, but you know.
Okay, so that's a little bit of a different nuance already. Okay? Yeah.
OMG, awesome, free at last, let's party.
Okay, so if you listen a little bit carefully, we have celebration over here. And over here, we have a little bit of anxiety. We have a little bit. You made it funny. But there is a little bit of anxiety of, where are we going exactly? This is all new for me. Oh my God, it's going to be like I'm waiting for the meltdown from my kids. Like, are we there yet? No, it'll take 40 years. Like, you know, it's like, so this is a 10-word exercise. But if you're listening, when people around the table, at your Seder table share, all of a sudden, you'll be able to pick up. That's interesting. God, spirituality, leaving, anxiety, celebration, different nuances. This is part of, look, one of the things that motivated, there are a number of different things, but one of the things that motivated me to write the Sagada was that I felt that Seder night was often very disjointed. It was a disjointed conversation. People of different ages, people with different religious orientations, and I found that the conversation often was like, you know, someone would say, oh, here's an interesting comment, look what Sir Jonathan Sacks says this, dot, 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 and then someone says, oh, isn't that interesting, well, here's Shlomo Carlbach's story, dot, 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 and then someone else says, well, why are we doing this, and as the person leaving Seder was like, this is like, we're just not on the same page. It wasn't flowing. It wasn't coherent. It wasn't the natural conversation. So that's what we're trying to do. Here we're all on the same page. We're literally all on the same page. And now we can talk. Oh, those are your 10 words? Cute. Those are my 10 words. Oh, what does that evoke? We can have a conversation. That's part of the Seder night. Okay? So we have 10 things for kids that, you know, all levels of people, you know, here. Maybe you'll want to do this for a prompt for your Seder. This is a Seder t-shirt. Kids, on the Seder, if you were to design the Seder t-shirt, what would you write on it? What would you draw on it? Okay? And this is a great exercise if any of you have adolescents who are somewhat reluctant to come to your Seder, or if you have anybody who's going to make a face at your Seder who's coming, you know, not because they want to celebrate. So there are a lot of opportunities for expression to engage. Okay? So we have 10 for kids. Then we have two questions for seniors. Mm-hmm. Two questions for seniors. Because I have found that very often the seniors get marginalized at Seder. I have so much to offer. They have so much wisdom and experience to offer. But we say the Seder's got to be about the kids. It's got to be about the little kids. Got to keep the kids interested. So the seniors, they're like sitting quietly. You're helping in the kitchen. It's not. What a loss. What an unbelievable loss of an opportunity. So there are two questions. There are two times in this Haggadah where it says, okay, this is for the seniors. A question for a senior, such as, tell us one thing about Seder when you were a kid. What do you remember? What stands out? At Diana. What do you think was the most significant moment in your lifetime for the Jewish people? What are you grateful for? And we want to give everyone the opportunity to hear their own voice. When we did this for my mother, okay, who's from Vienna, most of their family was intermarried. I think they probably served bread at Seder. I mean, completely marginalized. But she shared one time that when she was a kid, her father, when he poured the wine, asked all of the non-Jewish spouses to leave the room because they couldn't touch the wine. Unbelievable! Like, I don't exactly know how that fits. You can marry a non-Jew, but you can't have... But it was interesting for us to hear. And, I'm going to say a very tragic thing now, but I totally believe it and experience it. The most important conversations in our lives we will never have. How sad is that? How sad is that? I mean, I go to a shul for 25 years. There are 25 families in the shul, 25 years in the same shul. And we have Kiddush all the time. And I know exactly who's going to say what at the Kiddush before he or she says it. I know the joke's coming. I know the conversation. I know we get into these routines, but the most important conversations in our lives will never happen because nobody will ask you, how's your relationship with God? What are you really grateful for in your life? What was really bitter for you last year? What was your maror for you last year? What was difficult for you? What was bitter for you that you made sweet, that you dipped into hummus? These are important conversations to have. What are you really grateful for? What are you grateful for the Jewish people? So this idea here is that we want to evoke our own voice and we want to have the conversations that we don't have on any other night. Yeah.
So I recognize the power and the possibility of the power that this could have and people who are willing to open up. But for the people, and I would argue more than 50%, are either not inclined to express themselves in most ways, so how would you engage them?
How would you do that? So welcome to my life, the last 10 years, okay? And this, what's your name?
Jessica.
So I have found an amazing thing. After I left Pardes, I wanted to create something which I call spiritual checkups. We go and have a physical checkup. I wanted to create a spiritual checkup. We should go to the doctor every year, and we should have a spiritual checkup every year. So I got a grant, I was a consultant for Hillel International. And I went to 50 or 60 campuses, all kinds of campuses. And I did spiritual checkups. And I asked people the question, college kids, when was the last time you had a spiritual moment? Please share a spiritual moment. And I did this with thousands and thousands of college kids. Now, they told me, Arya, you're totally nuts. I mean, college kids talking about spiritual moments, are you crazy? I did this with thousands of kids. You know how many times I got the cold shoulder? You know how many times somebody told me never? Never. A lot of times we don't open up. Then I went to England. Anybody from England here? Right? They said, are you? You can do it in California. You can't do it in Britain. I mean, you're crazy. Right? Packed. We're yearning to have these conversations. What we have to do, what shuts us down, is the judgment, is the agenda, which is if I share... honestly, you're going to roll your eyes. So when we create a space from the beginning that is like safe, we create a safe space. Jessica, I am blown away by how much people share. I am blown away. And as people share, more and more people share. And that's what we start off with, the easy one, like the 10-word question. And then as in this, in the course of the Haggadah, it grows. And we'll see. We'll come back to your question in a moment. But it's a great question. Yeah.
If I could attest to Jessica's question as well, I think the brilliance of your idea is to have people write beforehand. Mm. So when they're writing beforehand, they are already not under pressure, but it's writing. They don't know what's going to happen later on. But then you bring it up. People like to read what they wrote, and they might feel a little more open to do it. So that's the great idea, the importance of the hour before.
This is a huge thing that Ralph has mentioned here. Look what we learned from Facebook. Right? What do we learn from Facebook about human nature? We learn that people have a desire to share. I'm posting on Facebook what I had for breakfast. I had scrambled eggs for breakfast. I don't expect anybody to answer. I don't expect anybody to go. I put too much pepper on my scrambled eggs. I'm sharing. Why are you sharing that? I mean, look at what people share. Why are you sharing? We have a human need to share. And that's what we're allowing here in a safe way to come out. So what do we say? We have 10 questions for kids. We have 2 questions for seniors. Let's go on. Take a look at the next one. Well, 10 questions for everyone. Okay? That's the check mark. 10 questions for everyone. We stop, and we pause, and we look. Turn the page. Okay? Okay? Page 29. See the space? The check mark. You have 10 questions. Today, what questions do you imagine the wise child would ask? Now, you know, the Haggadah says the wise child will ask, you know, what are the statutes and testimonies that, you know, we should talk about? I have 6 kids. They're all wise. None of them are going to ask that question. Okay? And they would, might maybe roll their eyes, right? But we have a, you know, what would the Chachama ask today? What question would you hope the wise child would ask today? That's a question that there's no right or wrong answer to. Everybody can answer that question. But that's a question that can flow also into a conversation. Oh, you think they should ask about God, about social justice, about tikkun olam, about anti-Semitism, about ecology. You know, what is the question? That's a question that everyone can answer. Turn the page. Right? This is where I find many people begin to wander off at the Haggadah. You know, when the rabbis start talking about, no, it wasn't 10 plagues. It was 50. Right? Oh, it was 200. I was 250. What's going on here? Like, you know, do I hear 300? Like, what is going on here with the rabbis? And why is this important? Right? The rabbis are doing this thing. I can't relate at all. You know, when are we going to eat? Let's go on. Right? But everything in the Haggadah has a value and it's a trigger. So our question is this. Look at the question on page 47. Every journey has moments worthy of exaggeration. Exaggeration makes the process more human and personal. Years from now, what moments in your journey do you think you will be exaggerating? Exaggeration is an expression of love. Huh. I met this girl. She's the most beautiful girl in the world. Right? She's the most wonderful in the world. Right? Exaggeration is a sign of love. It was unbelievable. It was awesome. It was amazing. It was like, it's a sign of love. That's what happened to rabbis here. It's a night of love. So make it, once you, just I'm not going to ask you to share, but reflect for a moment, stop for a moment. And when you can look at your journey, and now skip ahead 5, 10, 30, 40 years, whatever, and you're recounting your life journey to somebody, can any of you find a moment in your journey that you, when you tell your grandkids, your great-grandkids, you'll exaggerate? I'm not going to ask you to share, but just put up one finger. If you can think of a moment in your life that is worthy of exaggeration. I see some hands going up. I see a bunch of hands. So what is that? What happens now? Once I discover where I am prone to exaggeration and what that reflects about my journey, now I can relate to the rabbis. That's what this is in Haggadah. They're inviting me to look at the night of Yitziat Mitzrayim, not as a historical moment, but as a love affair. That's how I want you to look at Haggadah in a certain sense. Right? I heard this once from a marriage counselor. That she asks couples when they're fighting, if they come in, to bring their wedding album. And she goes, okay, before we get to the issue that there's a not shalom bayit about, let's just walk through the wedding album and look at it. Oh, that's you getting ready. And then that, and that, and that. Well, you can imagine, after looking at the wedding album, you know, 20, 30, 40 pictures. Okay, now what are you arguing about? I can't remember exactly. Why are we here? Yitziat Mitzrayim Haggadah is our first date with God. Yitziat Mitzrayim, like Yotzi, we're going out. We're going out. Kodesh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael going out on their first date. And that's what we're looking at here in Haggadah. It's a love story. Okay. What we do at our Seder, if you look here also on your list, you see the rings, the coupled rings? What I have found at the Seder is that it's really challenging to run a long day. Usually there's one person talking, or some families have everybody chanting together, one person, but it's hard to keep the flow going hour after hour. So what we do at our Seder, this is what I want to suggest here, and it's in the Haggadah. There are 3 points at the Seder where we say like this, turn to the person next to you. Turn to the person next to you, and I'm giving you 3 minutes each to talk. We do a little chavruta, a little bit midrash, okay? So I want to try that out with you right now. Turn to the last page. Okay? Expressing gratitude. Sometimes the accumulation, this is after we sing Dayenu. This is at Dayenu, which for us was a big highlight of the Seder, but wasn't really more than a boisterous song. That's what it was. So we're going to reflect for a moment. Sometimes the accumulation of life's small defeats can wear us down and make us lose hope. My brain is flooded with, why didn't I do that? I can't believe I did that again. What on earth was I thinking? What would happen if I changed my focus? If instead of reminding myself of my failings, I started to list my successes, even my little ones? What would happen if we began publicizing achievements and blessings rather than catastrophes and setbacks? What if we tried to see things in a positive light? If we constructed gratitude lists to make us more aware of all the wonderful things that are happening to us? Singing the song Dayenu is a keystone moment for many families, is nothing if not a national gratitude list. After a rousing chorus, how can a person not have more hope? What would be on your gratitude list for the Jewish people? Can you get to 15 things? Well, we're not going to get to 15, but we're going to take a moment now, and I'm going to invite everybody. Think about your relationship. Think about the Jewish people. Think about this last year of the Jewish people. Can you get to 3 things? 3 things. Take a moment. Let's take and write. 3 things that are on your gratitude list for the thing. I'm really grateful that this happened. I didn't expect this to happen for the Jewish people this year. Take a moment and see. Can you come up with 3 things that not that someone should be grateful for, but that you feel that you are grateful for. Okay. Take a moment and let's write. 3 things that you are grateful for. That happened to the Jewish people this year. Write it right into your pages, sir. Write it right on your pages, sir. Right? And once you've got 3, if you can get 3, just put up a finger if you've gotten to 3.
When you say this year, do you mean just this year?
Yeah. Because next year we're going to construct a different gratitude list. That's the idea. Let's just see, put up 1 finger if you've got your 3 things. Okay, so look up here. Look up here. What's the idea behind this now? We're not just reading the Seder, the Haggadah. We're not just reading Diana. Diana was an incredibly creative song that the rabbis put together 2,000 years ago. It's an incredibly creative song. Kids, like, you know, I had such a disconnected Jewish background. I knew Diana. Such an incredible, it's like a language, you know, Diana. We all know that. And yet, what do we do with it in our Seder experience? We don't personalize it. We don't make it meaningful. We sing it. So this is an opportunity to reflect. Part of the idea of writing is that we don't live in a reflective world anymore. Are any of you busy in your lives? Do any of you ever multitask? Give me a sign of life. Anybody? My mother, God bless her, is 87 years old. She's been retired for 26 years. Retired. When I call up and say, Mom, how are you doing? She always has the same thing. Oh, I'm so busy. Now, why do you have to be busy? Like, you know? She goes, but we like to be busy. We like to multitask. It validates us as important people. If you say, you know, how are you doing? And someone says, I'm not busy at all. I've got so much free time. I don't know what to do with myself, right? Like, we wouldn't say that even if it were true. So we like to be busy. The bad news is that being busy and multitasking is really the enemy of spiritual growth. You cannot multitask a spiritual life. If my dear wife would say, I want to have a quality conversation, something I want to talk about, if I dared to say, you know, good, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. I can, like, text and listen at the same time. You know, that would not go over well. Right? We cannot multitask spiritual life. But we're so busy. And the time that the Jewish people have dedicated to spiritual life is the synagogue in prayer. But what have we done? We've made prayer very busy now, too, with some, you know. So we don't have time for a spiritual, reflective time. Now, we're not talking about a lot of time here, but just the time out, the pausing, the reflecting on the question, the thinking about what I'm grateful for, is a reflective moment. And that's what we want to create the Seder. I cannot go deep if I don't stop and reflect. So you took a moment to write. That only took about 90 seconds. And now I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and just share one thing that you wrote. Just share one thing that you wrote and listen to each other. Listen well to each other. I know you're busy, busy people, but for the next 2 minutes, clear out a space in your soul to really be there and listen to the other person. Okay? One person talks for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to say, switch! And the other person talks for 2 minutes. Not complicated. Are you ready? Does everyone have a partner? You good? All right? Good?
Go.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, but you're still with the Iran Man. I did not do a random job. You saw that.
Essential first. Yes, okay. Back in. You had a very short conversation. Put up a finger if you would say that you had a quality conversation. Okay. Almost all the hands go up. How can you have a quality conversation in 4 minutes? I mean, when I think of all the conversations I had during the day, the week, I can't say that most of them were really quality conversations, weren't reflective, meaningful conversations. I don't know if I was fully listening to the person next. I don't know if they were fully listening to me. You know, I mean, in 4 minutes, I mean, how can you have any kind of conversation in 4 minutes? And every hand went up.
This was J-Date. That's what it was.
J-Date. See that? Good.
Well, P-Date.
Well, that's a beautiful thing because you know what? You know, at a date, people really listen to each other. And there's a beautiful Hebrew expression, Devrim Sheyotzim in Alev, Nichnasim in Alev. And we talked at the beginning how the heart learns differently than the mind. I am not, you know, if you ask me, Arya, can you share something really, you know, personal? I'm not going to share with you. And certainly not in a group. But if you said, okay, let's do this, Arya. Just the two of us. And I'll share also. I'll share, and you'll share, and it'll be private, just the two of us. Would you share something personal? Like, did you feel a hand of God in your Jewish journey? Yeah, I might share that. I'm not going to share with the group. Now, why do I love this exercise at the Seder? And we will do this two or three times during the Seder night. It changes, it breaks up the energy. People start talking, right? My dear wife and I, we very carefully plan out who's going to sit next to whom, right? I have some of the most lovely conversations with my kids because, you know, we talk to the kids, we're talking all the time, we're WhatsApping all the time, we're on the phone all the time. But the question of, you know, what was bitter about your journey this year? I don't think I've asked that to my kids. What was sweet about, what was the charoset in your journey this year? Where did you feel God's love? I haven't asked that to my kids. So we'll very carefully plan out that one kid here, one kid here. And
One time we'll turn this way. One time we'll turn this way. And we'll have beautiful conversations. Not long. Not long. I'll say 3 minutes each. Usually we can't get people to stop. Right?
Jews, right? We thought.
But that's the thing. We're starved for these quality conversations. We're starved for these quality conversations. You know what Jessica asked before, you know, and what if somebody doesn't want to share? So here's the thing. When I teach teachers, very often they'll say, oh, Ari, I gave this great class. The kids were so into it. And the first question I ask is, how many kids in your class? 25. And how many shared? How many talked? How many talked in the class? 15. They were so into it. Some of us, well, the 10 kids who didn't talk, do you think they have nothing to say? Do you think they have nothing? Do you think they don't have a voice? No, they have something to say. Well, then, you know, you're just validating your own self as a teacher because of the commotion, the sound and fury. But what are those 10 kids who didn't share? Now, there are always going to be kids who don't share. So we as educators and parents, we have to think of the right ways to evoke the heart for those kids. So if a kid or a participant or a guest doesn't want to share with everyone at the table because they're a little bit inhibited or shy, so turn to, there's an opportunity here. Turn to the person next to you and just share with one person privately. And everybody will do that. Everybody will, and I pretty much guarantee you that you won't be able to stop them because we're starved for these quality conversations. And some of you had conversations with people you don't know at all, right? Raise your hand if some of you, right? And did that work? Yeah. You had a quality conversation with a total stranger. How does that happen? Yeah. Because when we set the table spiritually like that, it just happens. So those are the chavrutot moments. There's one more thing. And that you'll see on your list, it's the green icon. And this is called the Hope Givers. And this was another subtitle for the Haggadah that we ended up not using. But we once called this the Haggadah of Hope. The Haggadah of Hope. Because Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the story of leaving Egypt brought hope to the world. It brought hope to the Jewish people. Rav Kook writes, who went out of Egypt? Rav Kook writes, the world went out of Egypt. And we see that how many nations and peoples of the world have claimed at this story, let my people go, as part of the liberation movements. Right? This is a story of hope. A people that had no chance, parents, grandparents, great-parents, no chance, no hope, no power, leave the most powerful nation in the world. So one of the ideas of our Haggadah is that you should leave the Seder with renewed hope. This is your battery charger for the year. Because there's a lot of things that happen in the world and in Israel and to the Jewish people that can make us go like that and lose hope. Right? When are we going to charge our hope battery? When are we going to get filled up? Seder night is the night. And the whole thing is about hope. And it culminates with Shana Haba Yerushalayim. It culminates with hope. I mean, that's one thing. We're sitting here in Jerusalem, so we say Shana Haba Yerushalayim. But we're sitting here in Jerusalem because 100 years ago, 500 years ago, our grandparents or wherever in Minsk or Pinsk or wherever they were saying Shana Haba Yerushalayim. It's about hope. So there are 15 hope givers in this Haggadah. 15. And questions like Eliyahu Navi. Okay. We pour the coast for Elijah. We open the door for Elijah. Asma, so what? Is this like a joke? Is this a charade? Does anybody think anybody's going to come through the door when we pour the cup? Does anybody relate to it? This is, again, an unbelievably creative moment that Chazal, our rabbis, went through. So the question we have here is, Eliyahu Navi, a total stranger, have you ever had a moment in your life, an Eliyahu Navi moment? Have you ever had a moment that a total stranger did you an amazing act of chesed? Look at your life. Did you ever have an Elijah moment where a total stranger appeared and saved you? Just like that. So that's an interesting conversation. There was a moment of hope. Were you ever Elijah for somebody? Okay? We have 15 here. Maror. What are the difficult moments in Jewish history that, looking back now, give you hope?
We take the maror, we dip it in charoset. Reframing. Well, think about that. It's not just doing it. How does that affect you? These are all triggers that are supposed to evoke your hearts, the rabbis want. Right? 15 questions. Shana haba b'Yerushalayim. What's your hope for Jerusalem? Don't just sing it and dance it. What is your hope? And then write it. And then let's talk about it. Let's get to know each other more. So there are 40 triggers in here for all ages to give us hope, to make it personal, and to make it flow. And the goal being is that you'll have your best Seder. Manish tonight, you'll have your best Seder. Mm-hmm. For those of you leading the Seder, it's really easy. I certainly don't expect a family or a Seder to go through all 40. I mean, if you go through all 40, you'll have enough until Shvi Shal Pesach. You'll be there at the table, you know? But you're not going to go through. When I get this out to our kids and the guests, I'll say, go through it and pick half a dozen that really resonate with you and write those. And then when you're reading the Seder, you'll see, okay, this one, did anybody write for this year? What did you say? Nobody wrote for this one? Fine, let's go on. You're not going to do them all. But imagine that there are 4, 5, 6, 10 here that resonate and that you evoke and you have the conversation. What's the goal? We want each of us to feel that we're experiencing living in Egypt. My voice. I am a commentator. We're a little harif at our Seder, and we say we don't want, it's a little heretical, but we don't want Divrei Torah. I don't want to hear a comment from somebody else's Haggadah. Somebody else. I want to hear your voice. You have a unique voice. I want to hear your leaving Egypt, whatever that is. Want to make it personal? We want to make the conversation flow. And we want to leave with hope. That's the idea behind the guy. Comments or questions? Yeah.
Question on a toughness level. So you don't have the parnasa available to buy a copy for everyone that you have coming to your Seder. Do you have some of these, some of the things that you might give to people as a pre-exercise? Because you talked about pre-Pesach.
Beautiful.
Exercise. Do you have that on the website or...
My suggestion.
Yeah.
For you, what's your name?
Jessica. Also.
Oh,
this is
also Jessica.
Table.
Got it. Jessica. Okay. So, my suggestion is, if someone is not going to have the Haggadah available, or if someone says to you, "Listen, whatever, I'm in the army. There's no time. I have no time. Whatever," my suggestion would be, okay, for you to look through the Haggadah and to email that person. Okay, I'm going to suggest these two questions. Just think about these two questions before him. So you have something.
Yeah,
something.
I was thinking of actually getting people off of electronic media. And I was going to ask first if you had anything on the website that could be used. And then my thought would be that I would probably send people a written invitation with some of the... So
it's
that
a great idea.
Because I find with email it's just so easy to ignore or leave it to the last minute and pull it up with,
It's a great idea.
Okay.
Well, maybe we'll get it together to do it. It's a great idea. I want to offer a different idea, though. Someone said to me, Aye, you are such a slick business person. What an idea. People buy the Haggadah, they write, and it's the next year they have to buy a new Haggadah. Halavai, I would be a slick business person. I'm an educator. But the idea is this. Wouldn't it be amazing if you and your kids and your family and your participants actually wrote in it this year? And next year, you got new ones. And you wrote it in next year. So we don't take pictures of the Seder. We don't have documentation. But you could have, imagine the kids looking at it, 5 years ago, that's what I was grateful for last year. Isn't that interesting? I'm in a different place. Oh, that's what was bitter for me last year, isn't that? Oh, that's the question I couldn't answer last year. You'd actually have your Yetziyah Mitzrayim history for somebody, which could be really, really beautiful for a kid and a family. Any other comments or questions, nice people? Yeah.
Do you go through the regular Seder also, Rav Garfun and then this one? I mean, do you do that also?
The whole Seder is in here.
No, I don't. Yeah, no, I saw that. But I'm asking you, as the leader of your Seder, do you go through that? You know, halachmanya, do you do the whole thing plus the questions?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole thing, and on almost all parts of the Seder, you know, it's a question for kids. What do you think Paro's kids were telling him during the 10 plagues? Who was his wife? What do you think Paro's wife was saying to him? And then a question for the adults. What has been the plague on your journey? Okay? We want to make it, you know, what do you have to de-stuckify for your journey? These questions that we all can relate to. It's about filling up our battery to take the next steps on our journey. Yes, sir.
Isn't that the writing part doing the same? Is it okay to write the same? So
I'm just a bookseller.
Because there's some people that would write. If you're not going to cook, you're not going to do this, you're not going to write, or you're not going to.
You're all adults, I will let you, it's part H, right? I will let you decide exactly how you want to handle that, etc. Okay? However you want to do it.
Well, each individual, might be one individual. I'll write it to me, that's not true. Somebody else might say, I can't do that.
All I can tell you at the beginning, it says, very important moment, 1 hour of prep time before the Seder. Okay? So we're bringing this to Am Yisrael is in many different places, and everyone will make their own decisions. Nice people, you should have a great Seder. Okay?
This is a production of the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit elmad.pardes.org.